Hey, y'all. My name is Ann Wyatt. I started my career in workforce development with the state of Kentucky in 2010. That experience ignited a deep passion for manufacturing within me. I started this show hoping to raise more awareness around the bright outlook manufacturing careers have. Join me as I sit down with some of the manufacturing industry's most successful change makers and learn how they're partnering people with technology. It's time to give people more meaningful work. This is Workforce 4.0. Hey, y'all. Welcome back to another episode of Workforce 4.0. This is your host, Ann Wyatt. I'm super excited to have Chris Stevens here with us today. Chris Stevens is up to some really cool stuff in the manufacturing community. I think we originally met at MD&M West. Is that correct, Chris?
Yeah, we met talking about MD&M West. And I actually do think we've crossed paths just unknowingly. I think we've both been to MD&M a few times, so we probably crossed a few paths and didn't realize that we were destined to have this conversation in the future.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think, you know, we're both excited. We will miss you this year, though. I know you said
yes,
you
couldn't. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be there. I would love to. I would really love to be there.
But we are excited about the upcoming event next week in Anaheim. But beyond that, that's not really why you're here today. And for those that are listening in, could you maybe introduce yourself a little in more detail? And then we're going to drop some really cool news for the industry nationwide, worldwide. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. And first and foremost, and it's an absolute honor and pleasure to be here with you today, especially your community. Like you said, I've been around the industry for a while, hard to believe 14 years. When I originally started this whole journey in manufacturing and engineering, I started back when I was in high school working in a pattern shop and CNC machining facility, taking out garbage. It was the first introduction to big machines, cutting tools, getting into learning about pattern making and design. And none of these to say, I was hooked. I went on to do engineering school, got 2 degrees in engineering to be extra nerdy, and then spent the last 14 years in medical manufacturing and a variety of different things. Although in medical, I still have a deep passion and love for the broader engineering and manufacturing community. There's just so many cool things and technologies that continue to evolve and happen. It's been a journey, and I'm super excited to share with the community what we have coming in the works. And like you said, unfortunately, not going to be at MD&M West this year. It's always a fun time to meet other people and share good stories of what's happening around the industry.
You'll be at other shows, though. Where are you going this year, Chris?
Yes. That's a really good question. I have to clear it with the CFO, the wife, to see which ones I'm going to be in attendance this year. But actually, that is one of the cool things that I have to share with the community. And I'll talk about that here in a moment. But it's always a difficult challenge of what trade show should you be at? Where should you be? Who's going to be there? And where is the good source to find it all?
Excellent. Yeah, I'm really excited to share that as well. But Chris, for those that may not be as familiar with you out there, I've got to know, and I love your story, by the way. I think those are the best stories that come out of our industry when you've got young talent on a shop floor in a manufacturing facility, and then they're just hooked. They become addicted to the process. They become addicted to all the machinery, all the stuff that goes into turning raw material into a product. Mm-hmm. Best stories that come out of this industry, 100%.
Absolutely.
Cool for me to be taking a part in your story. That is that story. So I want to thank you for that as well. What do you think, with all of that experience you bring to the table, is the most inspiring thing about the industry to you?
Yeah, I think the most inspiring thing for me, at least, is I think back when I first entered into industry back in high school, there wasn't a whole lot of automation. Automation was something that was new to the space. It was a high volume automotive car manufacturing type stuff. But what I think was interesting for me, what's really innovative or what's really coming down the pipeline, is the amount of skills and new talent are coming out of high school, college, that have the automation, the software background and understanding. It truly is exciting times that are coming ahead of us just with that leverage and accessibility. I know everyone's talking about AI and all the different open sources that are out there, but what you can do in manufacturing with technology today was a pipe dream 10 years ago, and it just wasn't possible or at the scale. And I think that's just, for me, super exciting, because engineers, shop floor individuals to the front office, they can do far more than they ever could before with half amount of resources. And again, going on a rant about automation, but everyone's always afraid of it. And I think it's actually exciting times that we're going to see all skill levels leverage this to do so much more than they could 10 years ago and accomplish, take on engineering challenges that were never thought possible before and do it with a high school degree. I think that is absolutely exciting time to be a part of.
I think that's clutch. And we're getting better than we were. I'll say that. Yes. We're getting better than we were with that, but I think that's normal. That's the new normal, right?
It is. Yeah, absolutely.
What do you think is the coolest thing you've seen in the last 10 years in manufacturing that has evolved with the technology?
Yeah, I think that's the awesome. Coolest thing for I did a little work at Proto Labs, and like the digital manufacturing experience has always been really fascinating in watching it evolve. I think Proto Labs was a early player to the game, but the game of the playing field has leveled quite a bit. More people are doing automation in that aspect. I think what's more interesting, or the evolution of it, will be how do manufacturers of all sizes scale with the big companies? How does a $1 or $2 million CNC manufacturing facility compete with a $100 million? Before, that was never possible. And I think the tools that have evolved and are easily accessible, it makes it a very level playing field. And I don't think we've ever seen that degree of competition amongst the community. And I think that's really cool. I'll give you an example. I was talking with a two-person machine shop last week, and I am outbidding and outperforming both on a profitability and a quality standpoint than some of the largest players in the game for CNC machining. He goes, that's a game changer. And I can do it with software that, he half of the joke, he goes, I can go to the Apple store or the App store and I can download something that I can compete with a multi-$100 million company. That wasn't possible 10 years ago. And I would say it continues to accelerate, and even more that the small fish or the quick, fast, and nimble industry of small job shops, or even injection molding, metal fab, you name it, they're all leveling up very quickly and competing at a very high level. That is, for me, I love it. Anytime there's more competition, I love to see that, because it's giving more people the opportunity to shine.
Yeah. I see a lot of that too. And I think that those are the best use cases for the technology that's coming our way. I think there's still a learning curve, I think, with digital natives and then the way things were, the way we've always done things, if you will, air quote.
We hear that all the time this year. We've always done it that way. Probably more than many of us like to admit.
And if it works, sure. But I don't know if it's sustainable and if it's going to keep working.
Yeah, that's an interesting, thought. And I like to think of it two ways. You mentioned it there, is we've always done it that way. And how do we transfer knowledge? I think one of the biggest challenges that we have in front of us is less about the technology, but how do we transfer knowledge and skills? You talk a lot about it in your podcasts and on LinkedIn, is the skills. What are the skills that are needed for the future, and are they sustainable? I look at knowledge or data transfer. We talk about big data and all that. I think that's the same thing that's going to have to happen with skills. How are we going to transfer skills from one generation to the next? Last time I checked, AI isn't going to load or unload apart from the back of a truck or have that hand conversation or handshake with the customer. That's soft skills and hard skills that we're going to have to learn as an industry and evolve with. And to your point, everything can't be replaced with AI or automation. There's still going to be a human shop floor skills that are going to be required, regardless of whatever industry or whatever manufacturing you're in the line of.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I was just thinking about, have you seen this recent interview clip with Mark Cuban?
And I feel like he's in the news everywhere. So
he does a lot of stuff. Yeah. It's Mark Cuban. But He's talking about future skills, and he's talking about, he's like the antagonist this point of view, I think. And he's talking about, if I were giving career advice to the next generation of the workforce, I would encourage them to pursue more of a liberal arts degree than I would a programming degree at this point, because we're skilling up in that area and soon AI is going to take a lot of that area and all this. But I think maybe there is a large amount of time between these two things happening, or maybe it's not as relative advice as what we think. But I would almost bet, with your hands-on experience, with your day-to-day experience, with you working in the industry, you would have some better advice for the next generation of the workforce. What do you think, first of all, what do you think about those comments? And secondly, what is relative advice for the manufacturing workforce?
Yeah, I know. First and foremost, I respect Cuban and some of his wild ideas. He seems to push the envelope and ask some of the more tough questions. I think that's a very interesting question of, if we roll back the clock pre-COVID and right as COVID hit, everything was software, engineering software. And I think we're starting to see a little bit of that, and I'll point at some of the recent events where larger companies are laying off software engineers. And again, wrong or indifferent, for whatever it's worth, it's an interesting aspect of, okay, they're highly skilled in something, but is that as applicable in the time frame? What I think Cuban is getting at, and maybe where I would go with it from an advice standpoint, is, what are those human skills? What are the different skills that we as an individual can't ask ChatGPT, DeepSeek, now that's launched, or OpenAI? What are the things that require, I think, creative thinking, creative mindset? And what I connect that to, and the advice I tend to give people, is learn how to be a great problem solver. Ask the tough questions. Think of ways of, not necessarily why it can't be done, but what are the obstacles that stand in your way, and how do you prove those to be true or false? That has served me tremendously well in my career of, and I think you'll hear Elon Musk talk about it, a number of other people that are in the aerospace, is the laws, or the laws of physics, if you will. Does it break the rules of gravity? Does it break things that are just can't be done because the universe says it shouldn't? And a lot of those times there, I think you look at the liberal arts and the, I'll say, creative thinking space, it frees your mind to go down different paths that maybe you've been taught or told, hey, we've always done it that way. Don't go that direction. It's tried and true. It's been that way for decades in the manufacturing space. And I think we're starting to see that outside of the manufacturing arena, is the innovation and the things that were always that way are starting to be broken or changed. Now, change isn't always good. Sometimes it's a little bit faster than we're used to, but in the manufacturing space, we're starting to see some of those trends evolve and really start to showcase how is that technology advancing quickly. So I had a conversation with a, if you can believe it, 21-year-old CEO that has started a business. And we were talking a little bit about, what does it mean to be a founder? What does it mean to be a leader? It's not necessarily about giving the answers, but it's teaching and educating his team members or their team how to be great problem solvers, how to look and framework all the challenges that they have, and then ask, what do they need to do in order to move the ball, move the needle forward, whatever the analogy you like to use, and really challenge the status quo. And I would circle it back, what Cuban said is, I don't know that we need more software engineers. Software will slightly be replaced with the use of AI, and there will always be a need for it, but I don't think it's going to be as the large a demand as we once thought. And if we relate that to engineering, to manufacturing, and that space, is, I think the engineer or the manufacturing professional of the future is going to be able to accomplish more with the use of technology. It's how do they use the problem-solving skills that they develop and learn to approach the technology to aid or assist in that problem-solving technique. Unfortunately, at least AI or any of the computer software isn't quite there. It says, make this part for me and do it perfectly with great performance. We're not quite there yet. We're still going to have challenges and problems that arise along the way. very much like our technology challenges we had getting this thing started. There's always going to be bumps in the road that you have to figure out and get creative and solve for. That's my two cents on it, at least.
That's excellent. Yes. For those listening today, we had some minor technical difficulties before recording today. And Chris has an amazing story on that. And that is one more reason you should connect with him after this show.
All fun times with technology.
Oh, absolutely. I agree with a few of those points. I definitely think that the future of work and the way that we think about collaboration is going to change. It's definitely going to be people collaborating more with technology, whether that's a piece of software or whether that's an OT device or like a robot or something like that, or a piece of machinery or something like that. So I definitely think that there's going to be a level of collaboration between humans and technology that advances, evolves, and changes. Yeah. I also think that we are going to have to be a lot more collaborative as individuals.
Absolutely.
And with knowledge comes power. Is that a famous quote?
Yes. I think
that's right.
Who said it? It's out there somewhere. If not, I think you need to, you know, trademark that and make sure you use it for the future.
Yeah. But I think that there's going to be a lot of power in the knowledge that we have. And I think that's really going to enable the humans of work to collaborate at a much higher level. But I think you're doing some of that as well. And I want to pose the question about the future of work and collaboration.
Yeah.
But I also got to know how you're contributing to the cause.
Yeah. Breaking news. And for those there, as of February 5th, and I think this will be launched or this will be released just after that, I have a new website that's going live called The Home of Manufacturing, and that's the home of and then mfg.com. What we intend to do here is to make the largest, most comprehensive list of trade shows for manufacturing space. Like you mentioned, that collaboration piece, I think, slightly took a backseat or backpedaled during COVID. And within the last 2 years, at least last year, there's a huge drive to get back in person and have that collaboration face to face. As much as I'd love to say Teams or podcasts are great, there's just something about shaking hand and breaking bread and sharing industry struggles, challenges, triumphs, success stories in person. So yeah, what we're doing, we're launching an entire webpage. I think I'm at over 120 events right now for 2025, both North America, a little bit of Europe, and a little bit of the Caribbean. Stay tuned to that. Check it out. Included in that is also going to be something that I think will be very insightful to a lot of the community. It's going to be called Voices of Manufacturing. And what that's going to be, it's going to be a comprehensive list with the help of the community, obviously, of all the folks that are talking about manufacturing. Podcast, LinkedIn, Instagram, YouTube, you name it, we want to put it on the list. And so as much as it's myself and a few others that are working on this, trying to get it going, we heavily rely on the community to also help bring that list together. So if there's something on the list that's not on the list, let me know. Make sure to let us know and we'll gladly add it because we want that collaboration and that knowledge sharing to occur. I always say there's so much knowledge to be shared. And so many things that you could grab from others that have been there, done that, struggled through it, and triumphed in it, and that you can grab it and run with it. I use, in my career, I've had a scoring mechanism. You get 1 point for a new, fresh idea. You get 2 points if you steal someone else's idea. And you get 3 points if you take someone else's idea and make it slightly better. And I think that's the mindset that we have is how do we share that knowledge, share those success stories for others to grab and then make it just even slightly better and then reshare it. And I think if we do that across the community as a whole, manufacturing will be so much better. It will evolve and rise to the challenge that I think we have facing coming forward. Like we have a lot of really tough challenges to solve for, and it's going to take a community effort to get there.
That's amazing. And I think that's big news. I don't know if you've seen, like, my feed lately is all, what trade shows is everybody going to be at? And can does somebody have a comprehensive list of trade shows
for
manufacturing?
I saw that question more often than not. I was also one of the people that was asking that question. And I have my lovely sign up here about called execution, basically shut up and do it, more or less. And finally, I just said, okay, I need to take my own advice here and just stop asking and go make it. That's what we've been doing for the last 2 months, is trying to dig every corner of the internet and find all the different trade shows that exist.
That's really cool. I love that. And I think that's definitely a valid resource for the manufacturing community. I think a lot of people could really benefit from having a comprehensive list like that. Why do you love the trade shows? Because that seems like something you're pretty passionate about.
Yeah. So early in my career, I was working in a lot of trade shows, getting out there and I'll say the person behind the booth scanning your badge, asking for what projects do you have coming up? But one of the cool things that I found was the camaraderie, the people that you would see there. I have a short story. Right before we went to MD&M prior to COVID, I got on the flight and I counted the number of people that I knew by name, and it was almost 40 people. And I just remember going, wow, I'm on a plane that I know 40 people that I aren't my relatives or friends, and we're all going to the same trade show from Minnesota. Now, granted, it's likely that we're all running away from the cold in February, but Abby, I like to think we're all going to go share knowledge and experiences with each other. But you really start to see that. And I think, and you've seen a lot of that too, especially amongst the community of influencers and folks talking about manufacturing, that when you go to those events and different things, it's just natural that stories of success, stories of challenges come up. And there's nothing better than listening to someone's challenge and go, hey, you need to go talk to these three people. They're going to help you. They've been there, done that. They just went through it. They'll share everything that they've learned and know. And to get an email a couple months later, hey, I took your advice, met those people. I'm thriving right now. I'm overcoming that challenge. And now I have something new. And so just connecting those dots for people, I think is, at least for me, super fulfilling. I love to see people thrive and overcome those pain points, the things that keep you up at night, make your head scratch and say, how do I fix this? What do I need to do? There's likely someone that's been there, done that, and would be more than happy to share everything that they've learned.
Absolutely. I really love that about our community. I love that about manufacturing. I love that Everybody is just so down. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just cool. Hey, I wrecked this machine. How did you fix it? Because I need to fix it. And you literally, I promise you, if you posted that on LinkedIn, give it about 45 minutes and your comments section will be full. You will get YouTube video links. You will get, that happened to me back in 1991. You will get advice like that.
Yeah.
You'll get all of that information just so quickly. And it would be really cool to have that as part of an online community as well. I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely.
You've thought of that.
Yeah. I'll say our 90-day plan is more focused on events and the voices of manufacturing. My 3 to 5 year strategy or plan for the website and kind of the community is really focused around that knowledge sharing. How do you transfer skills? How do you transfer information? I think just the future of manufacturing is really going to have to, I think, as you mentioned earlier, how are these skills developed? How are we going beyond just having a conversation with AI? It's who do we need to talk to? Who do we need to chat with? And I've seen ask for help on LinkedIn. Like you said, some I think are a little overwhelmed with the amount of responses that they get because they just get flooded with, oh, try this, try that, try this, buy this machine, do this, do that. But it's amazing because you look at the community, you're like, holy crap, there's a lot of people that care. And so to your point, I'm not going to say it's not out of reality, but that's definitely part of the 3 to 5 year plan is to create a centralized space for knowledge sharing. Or do you go learn from other folks and ask questions of, hey, I sent this email through the side of the machine. What did I do wrong? Or I'm running this in type of injection molding machine, press brake, thermoformer, blow molder, weldment, you name it. I think there's just so much knowledge that can be shared and captured in text, video, picture, whatever it might be. There's just a lot of stuff to be shared, but I want to give a place for it to land and be shared more broadly.
Like Reddit, but for manufacturing.
That's a great way of explaining it. That's a much more concise answer than I just gave. So Reddit for manufacturing. I like it. I can roll with that.
I do. I think that's really cool. I think that'd be a lot of very helpful for a lot of folks too, that maybe, especially a lot of small businesses, a lot of small shop owners, they like are so overwhelmed anyway. I've got five fires, and if I could fix two of these, we'd be having a great day. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And I would say there's probably even engineers, job shop owners, they're everywhere. They're just, how do I solve one fire today? And how do I make it slightly less of a pain in my butt or the thorn in my side that's keeping me from moving forward on something fun and cool?
I love this. And I love the idea of Voices of Manufacturing too. Is that the formal name? Is that what we're calling?
Yes, that is the formal name. It will be a tab on the webpage. I'm optimistic. I'm going to throw it out there. But I'm working with a company to try to get some really cool swag that's going to be handed out to all the folks that are on the list. So stay tuned. Not promising anything, but you'll hear it here first. But we're going to try to get some cool swag to promote it and make it as prestige as possible to be part of this unique community that's sharing and letting people know what cool things are happening.
That's really cool. And if you have a suggestion for Chris on educational content, if you're listening, can you, Chris, is that okay if we just throw that out there? If you have a suggestion for him to just DM you, email you, I'll put your information in the show notes.
Yes, please do.
So many people are making really good content and it's all really educational. Phil Saboa, do you know Phil Saboa? He has a podcast.
I've heard the name.
It's really good.
Every day I go through this, all of a sudden I'm like, oh, there's a new one. I haven't heard this. And then, you know, I dig into it. I'm like, oh, then I find another one. And then I find another one. And there's just so many great voices out there that haven't found that platform or haven't found that space to share. And they're sharing some incredibly insightful content. There's a couple of them I'm listening to. Man, if I would have known that 10 years ago, that's game changer. That would totally and completely change the game for how I'd run a shop or how I'd run a business. It's incredibly insightful. And I want to make sure that they have a platform to, I'll say, scream from the top of the rooftop what cool things that they're up to.
I was trying to think of some folks that maybe don't have quite as big of a following that are doing some really cool stuff too, because there's obvious, and then there's some that are out there creating and doing some really awesome content that maybe we're still working on building their following.
Yeah. And that's what the community, that's the ask I have of this community and the broader engineering and manufacturing community. Who are you listening to? What are the people that are out there that maybe don't have that big following yet, but they're putting in the work, they're putting in the reps to be a part of it. I want to make sure that they get a part of that list and get shared, because whether you did one podcast or 1,000 podcasts, I think every voice should have a chance to thrive and really show off the community. Hey, there's a lot of cool things. And I think as the deeper I dig into this topic, the more I'm like, wow, there is some really amazing folks out there that are sharing really amazing stories, and some that I'm like, I didn't even know that industry or that type of work existed. And I think I've learned more about ports being made that I was like, oh, that's a very interesting application. I don't think I ever would have thought of that. So I find it fascinating. So I'm hoping others do as well.
Oh, they will. I think they will. Like, they will. Yes. Yes. I love that. I love that. Very cool. Yeah, I agree. I think this industry needs to be reflective of what it is and the facts of what it is. It's a diverse industry. There are many different subset of niches in this industry. It is a somewhat circular supply chain, really and truly. You start with the raw material in one shop, and then the next thing, it's in a car that you drive every day, or it's in something you use every day. So I think that should be really explored, because the opportunities are so great. And
absolutely.
We don't talk about it enough.
Yeah. And I think for the longest time, everyone thought engineering, manufacturing, trades was dirty, dark, and scary. And I don't, it's definitely not that anymore. I've been in some shops that you could put a Big Mac or a cheeseburger on the floor and eat it and not even worry about getting a speck of sand or dirt in it. There are some absolutely cutting edge, breathtaking technology that's happening that really is pushing the industry forward. And you said going for a circle, and the immediate place I went was the raw material that goes into build product for a truck that turns around and delivers the raw material back to the factory that makes the product. So it is a true full circle industry that if you think deeply, you're like, okay, it's all connected one way or another.
It is. It is. And we should celebrate that. We shouldn't
absolutely
silo ourselves. No. Yeah. I love that. That kind of goes back to the collaborative skills conversation a little bit. You know what I mean? Because that's definitely, I think, going to be a sought out skill. But what other skills, when you're hiring new candidates, what other skills do you look for currently, like present day? Mm. And how do you think those skills will evolve over time?
Yeah, I think that's a one of many ways with that portion of the conversation. But one of the things I think that is a skill, at least that I look for in team members, is resiliency. It's how willing are they to adapt, or I say get knocked down and get back up multiple times over and keep trying.
It reminds me of a song. Did we skip that spot? We skipped that song. We skipped that. Man. Is that your karaoke song?
Maybe. I don't know. Unless you're thinking Sweet Caroline, because that's about the only thing I can actually sing. Maybe, but maybe you could do something like that rhymes with it.
Okay, that's good.
I'm not a singer. Don't. If anyone puts me on stage for karaoke, they're going to be very disappointed and probably leave. So we'll leave it like that. Unless you want me to sing Blippi, because that's all that my 3-year-old son listens to. I don't think anyone's going to listen to that. But outside of karaoke as a skill for a new hire, because I definitely don't have that. But resiliency is just being able to keep moving forward. But I think a lot of the future is more around the management skills. And I think for the longest time, we always had this mindset of managing teams. And I do believe the new future has to be more leadership of teams. It's hiring the individuals that have the skill sets that the manager doesn't have, enabling them to truly shine and move forward. That mindset of these small, nimble, quick, interactive teams is going to outpace or out-innovate the larger, I'll say, legacy style leader to sub the person that works for that manager. It's just a different style of work. And I think if I'm the CEO or the shop owner, I'm looking for managers that are going to lift up their team. The rest of them, as far as the new engineers, I think I was reading a stat the other day. It was the number of folks entering into the technical side of manufacturing or engineering that don't have 4-year college degrees is a staggering number. It's higher than it's ever been before. And I think that's highlighting of this mindset of a degree is great. I got multiple of them, knocked on it, but the ability to adapt, I think, is really starting to shine. And the leaders that are embracing that and pushing folks to reach a little bit further with a safe place to fail and not be have repercussions for it, that's going to be the companies that innovate at breathtaking pace. Give a couple examples. You can throw Tesla out there. You can throw any of the different software companies and the chip manufacturers. They are pushing the bounds of what was thought possible 10 years ago and doing it at a pace it's almost sci-fi in a way that they're innovating and doing new things. You're like, that can't be possible. It can't be innovating that quickly. That's just crazy pace. And they're doing it. And I think that's the whole mindset of they're letting everyone below them shine and come up with wild ideas. That's my take.
Yeah. And I think you had shared, of course, that opens up a whole can of worms about customized manufacturing and on-demand manufacturing and all that stuff. But I think you had shared a story before we started recording about that on-demand wild time during COVID. And I think that's a story that definitely should be shared as an example. Yeah. If you think back to that time of how we overcame as an industry.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's got to be a good example of that.
Yeah, and I think that story started at MD&M the February before COVID. It was just starting to hit the news. I remember talking with coworkers and I said, hey, this can be the last time we're going to travel for a while. This is a big thing that's going to happen. What I don't think many people realized was what was going to happen to manufacturing and supply chains. And I don't think we've fully recovered from the repercussions, the ripples that it has caused. But there are some positives kind of in the innovation space. One, and the story I had was working with a lot of the different companies that were making ventilators, parts for COVID, different things there. And the pace that we were getting parts, product, prints, making parts, shipping parts, delivering it, was a pace that I've never seen in my career. And I don't think I will probably ever see that again. In the order of magnitude of we get a print or a CAD model on Monday, and we would ship over 1 million parts by Friday. So that pace is just unfathomable at that point. But in that process, I think we've learned a lot of things of how to remove barriers, how to allow innovation its, I'll call it free space, to really work, and then rely on the team members to step up to the challenge and deliver. I think I can tell a handful of stories, no name names of who they were, but parts that were going on private jets, parts that were hand delivered in planes and being packed in the back of commercial airlines to get from point A to point B quickly. And that all happened because people were creative and they started asking, well, why do we have to do it that way? Why can't we do it somewhere different? So I think that mindset has carried over. I'm proud to say, I think it continues to give space to allow companies to innovate at rapid paces. But part of that time was, it was a challenge. There was a lot of things that said we could just easily, it's too difficult. But a lot of great people and companies rose to the challenge to deliver. And I think that a huge thing to celebrate. And it definitely changed the game in manufacturing for sure going forward.
I think so too. What we did during COVID, I don't think we give ourselves enough credit as an industry. We flipped on a dime.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Do you think that in the future, if something were like that were to happen, do you think that we would be a little bit more prepared to do that if we're learning from COVID? Do you think we would be able to do that again and maybe even improve on that?
Yeah, I think would we be better off? Yes, I do believe so. Would be grand slam hit it out of the park? Probably not. There are still quite a lot of lessons. How do you say around like talent development, workforce? How do you upskill them? How do you empower them to make better, faster decisions? I think setting aside natural disasters, geopolitical issues, more political issues in the United States, and whatever that might be, I think what we have to realize is that change is always constant. And how do we adapt to change and then have a playbook that says, if catastrophic event A happens, what's our response? What do we do? And then just educate our staff and workforce. What's our plan? Half the battle is just having a plan. Even if it's only 80%, you're still 80% ahead than if you had no plan at all. And if I would give advice, and I've given this to a couple of companies that I've worked with, just giving them strategic advice is have a plan. Even if that plan never comes to fruition, which you hope, you have a plan that everyone will know about and everyone can react, and you don't need to devise the plan, tell everyone the plan, figure out how you're going to track the plan. It's okay, plan A, ready, break, go. And I think that has, if anything, the biggest lesson that I've learned is from the industry of, hey, have something, because you're better off having it and not using it than you need it today, and your top three other competitors all have a plan and they just kicked your butt.
So, I love that. Have a plan.
Yes, have a plan. And I'm not saying you need to plan for the end of the world or an asteroid hitting the Earth, but I think we've seen in the news, there's plenty of disruption from wildfires, hurricanes, tornadoes, extreme cold. In Minnesota, 30-something below zero. Then you get down into Tennessee, Alabama having snow, I think down by, that's very disruptive. And I think we have to, as a workforce and companies, start planning for things that have a chance. May never come true, but those things that we thought were once in a million are starting to happen more than that as of recently.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Absolutely. Chris, I love that. And I've really enjoyed this conversation. It's just been so fun being absolute 100% human today.
Yeah, it's fun. I love this.
For those that are in the audience that would love to connect with you, again, hit up Chris if you have any suggestions for Voices of Manufacturing.
Yes.
For sure. Any additional information on trade shows that you'd like to keep up with annually? And what else, Chris? What else can we hit you up for?
Yeah, I mean, anything. I'm always happy to connect and share my network with people. I think we're, as a community, building that network broader and wider. And there's a lot of things that can be shared and success stories. Like you mentioned, make sure to check out the Home of Manufacturing. If you have any ideas in general, like what would be good to put in there, I'm all ears. Let me have it. We want this to be community driven. We want it to steer in the direction where we see the biggest need or the opportunities and gaps to fill. Again, its full intent is to close down the gap, put bridges between the silos, and connect people. So however we can do that, let us know. We're all ears. Like I said, this is as much for the community as it is myself. I wanted a comprehensive list so I knew what was going on. But I also know that, again, it's an idea of mine. So I hope everyone can steal it and then somehow make it better for 3 points. And we'll go from there and build off of it. So feel free to DM me, connect, LinkedIn, connection requests, follow, whatever. I'm here to help serve the community and make it bigger and better.
Awesome. And is LinkedIn a good point of contact for you, or what's your preferred?
Yeah, LinkedIn is going to be the best point of contact. It's the thing that I pay the most attention to. Not to say that my email box isn't a great place, but it tends to get filtered with a lot of spam and a lot of other things. So I would say LinkedIn's the best place. I'm normally on there 7 days a week. I respond pretty quick. So if you have any questions, need help, need a connection, let me know. Shoot me a DM there or hit me up in a tag in a post. I'm always willing to comment and answer any questions that I can. Or if not, make a suggestion on who might be able to help you answer that question.
I love that. Awesome. I love it so much, Chris. I really appreciate it today.
Absolutely.
For everybody that is out there in the audience that's listening, connect with Chris. He is an amazing human. And we will see you all next time on Workforce 4.0.
Thanks again, Anne. It was an absolute pleasure. And to everyone in the community, I look forward to chatting with everyone.